All right. Let's go now.
We have Coach Brett.
Further ado to the phone lines where we've got the former head coach at Independence Community College up in Kansas, Jason Brown from Last Chance U, joining us on the show. Coach Brown, how are you, sir?
I'm good, brother. Good. How are you guys?
Hey, we're doing well here in Knoxville. We're watching one of your former players, Emmett Gooden, next year. I want to ask you about him. But first, they told me, I have to remind you, Coach, we are on terrestrial radio here, which, trust me, much of a problem for us as it may be for you, but no F-bombs today. We had to get that disclaimer out there.
Do I have a reputation or something?
No, not at all. We have to say that to everybody we have on the show.
I'm a church-going citizen, brother.
We had a pastor on last week we had to let that know too, so you're good, Jason.
Coach, new season of Last Chance U next week. You said, you know, I don't know how we go with the spoiler alerts here. We know that you're not there anymore. What are you up to right now?
Man, I'm hanging pictures, man. I bought a new home out here in L.A. Had it built from scratch, and I'm handling that right now. I just closed escrow, man. We just moved in a couple weeks ago, so I'm just doing that. My damn dog here, Stogie, sitting here laying on my brand new couch. I gotta figure that situation out, and then I started another master's degree online. I'm gonna get another degree, and I'm just hanging out, man. I'm 25 years straight of playing and coaching, and first year off, so I don't know what to do. I'm just hanging out, figuring it out. Probably smoke a cigar here and drink some whiskey shortly. But besides that, nothing. Just hanging out right now, figuring out what the next chapter, so to speak, will be.
Do you still have the pool, the inflatable hot tub deal?
No, I have a jacuzzi here. I left it back there. I sold it. When I left, and I didn't want to, I was going to bring it, but I'm buying a new one here, so a newer, nicer one. I don't want nothing attached from my past to my present. So I'm
just starting a new leaf, huh? Turning over new leaf.
Always look forward,
no
Coach.
No doubt. Yep.
All right, good stuff. Well, we're
It's like when you're a kid, man, you screw up and you mess up your underwear. You ain't gonna wash them and wear them again. You know, you got to buy some new ones. So that's what I told my daughter anyway when she was young. So I said, "Hey, let's buy a new one. I'm starting over."
That's one way of putting it. For sure. Coach, we love Last Chance U, man. We've been we talk about this every summer, going back to the days down there at East Mississippi. You did it 2 years in a row. Obviously, that experience has been life-changing for you. Just like as you kind of start over and reflect on the past 2 years, what are your thoughts on everything that happened to you in Independence?
I don't regret anything. I'm glad we brought him in. We accepted Greg Whiteley and his crew. I think they did a heck of a job with everything. They're great folks. We made history. I think we set the bar pretty high. I love the opportunity to help use that platform to help young people market themselves on a global scale, which we did. 17 coaches got jobs, Division One, Division Two, or otherwise. I mean, 101 kids went Division One, both a national record. 40 Power Five. I mean, highest GPA among football playing junior colleges in the country. I mean, I think we did a pretty good job. So it was all polarized on a national scale, and probably one of the most watched shows on Netflix, and it probably will be again. And it was an honor to have that happen. I mean, it's not every day you get that. So like Greg said, man, I was a unfiltered project, I guess, person to film, the most he's ever had, in 30 years, the most unfiltered guy he's filmed, and that's probably the reason he chose me. But at the same time, we'll probably have 12 to 15 players get drafted in the next year and two years off these two shows, and that'll be probably hard to beat. I think we brought in amazing talent. We did a great job on building a culture there, and all good things must come to an end, brother, and it came to an end, and obviously I can't go out quietly, so I had to make a grand exit, and that's just what has happened, I guess. Not knowingly, but I guess it's just me and my luck.
Coach, when you this is an interesting question, the way I wanted to ask this. We're in a town with Jeremy Pruitt and the University of Tennessee, and you're at Independence, and trying to be able – A lot of these players that some of these big time universities get, they come through schools like you were at. What is that like trying to maintain? Okay, I'll use for instance. It seemed like you had a hard time getting it through Malik Henry's head of where he was at, what he needed to do if he wanted to get back to that big time Division I level. What is that like trying to tame the attitudes of certain players and make sure they're doing the right things where they get those next opportunities again to maybe go back and resurrect what they once lost?
There's a chapter in my book that's out now called Hate Me Now, Love Me Later, and it's doing pretty good on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. But in that book, it states, you have to have the it factor. Well, I think coaches and players alike have to have it, the great one. You got to be able to balance those two things. I mean, can you get the kid where he couldn't get himself? Number one, that's the definition of a coach. So could you get that done? We had 40 of them sign off the show's year, which is a record. That was that part of it. We got that accomplished. The second part is, can you cuss a kid out and he knows you still love him and has his best interest at heart? Can you convey that to that kid? And will he believe you, or will he just go through the process because he wants to get a scholarship and use you like you use him? And that's the difference. And that's why I was always a player's coach growing up. When you get to be the head coach, though, that role kind of changes, because you can't be who you were as a coordinator or as an assistant, because those guys have to be, you're the end all. Y'all. So when they know they screwed up, they got to come in your office and risk being cut by you or reprimanded or what have you. So, the players coach thing kind of ends like it did as a coordinator. So the game changes a little bit, but then you have to hire a great assistant to be able to manage those guys. And, when you have too many Chiefs and not enough Indians, man, I think you've lost it. And so, that's why it's a fine balance, and it's a tough balance, but you got to have the it factor. And I think managing those egos, man, I mean, we're the most egotistical humans on earth. It's football coaches, I'm just going to be honest, and players alike. So, having Emmett Gooden and Rakeem Boyd and Malik Henry, and, those type of guys, you got to have the it factor, man. And to get those guys graduated and now competing, to starting at places and I believe they'll all be drafted next year. This year's team, we have Jermaine Johnson, Coy Dang, the number one and two ranked players in all the country. One goes to Georgia, one goes to Cal. We're the first JUCO to send two kids, one to Cal Berkeley, one to Vanderbilt. Junior colleges don't take kids at those places. Junior college kids don't go to those places. And we were fortunate enough to get that out. We had to have a pretty high academic standard. I didn't accept anything less than sitting in the front, handling your business, playing the game, which is also another chapter I talk about in the book. Those type of things. The kids learned the game. They played it. They graduated at the highest rate in the country. And that's all. That's what makes me sleep at night, not wins and losses in junior college. We have these kids 18 months, man, not 5 years like Nick Saban and Jeremy Pruitt. So, I talk to Jeremy all the time about Emmett and how those things are. And, those coaches call me to this day and thank me and tell me how my kids sit in the front. They attack work daily. They're up at 5 in the morning, where other kids from other junior colleges, not to name any, can't even make it through a practice or make it through school. I mean, my kids know how to go to class. My kids don't get arrested, and they don't get kicked out of the four-year school when they leave me. You can say what you want about me, but the truth hurts. And, we're in a results-oriented business, man. My kids graduate. They know how to attack the real world, because they're going to get hit in the face in 18 months anyway, and have to work at hopefully not McDonald's or something. So hopefully get the dang degrees. Yeah. And know how to be productive citizen in the community. And that's what we've preached for ever since I've been coaching. And that's just what the it factor kind of entails. And those kids believe it, and they run through a wall for you.
Hey, we're talking with Jason Brown, his new book, Hate Me Now, Love Me Later, available right now on Amazon. It's a number one new release. And, of course, the new season of Last Chance U premieres a week from today on Netflix. And, Coach, you mentioned you talked to Jeremy Pruitt about Emmett Gooden, who was one of the stars of last year's season, one of your players, a defensive lineman, played sparingly for Tennessee last year. This year they're counting on him to be the anchor of the defensive line for UT. When you talk to Coach Pruitt, what does he tell you about Emmett Gooden and his progress here in Knoxville?
The first year he was a track star, he told me, because he made him run so dang much. When I said, that makes about right, that's about right. And great-hearted kid now. Emmett is a great-hearted human being. He's got no malintent in his blood. His mother did a heck of a job with him. You know, he lacks some work ethic at times, and he got to get in his butt now. And I think he's accepted that. And this spring and so forth, I was told he did a great job. He worked hard. He got lean. He's already fast twitches as heck for a big kid. So, you know, he handles his business, man. He'll be a draft pick. I mean, as simple as that. You can't teach that size for that with that quickness. So he said that he matured quite a bit, and that's the number one thing he needed to do, and he matured, and now sky's the limit for him.
Coach, when you look at defensive coordinators or offensive coordinators coming in and taking over big-time head coaching jobs around the country, and I'm sure you talk to a lot of coaches, so you could probably speak to this. What's the biggest concern that you have we'll stay on Jeremy Pruitt. Jeremy Pruitt coming in, he's been a defensive coordinator everywhere. Now he's coming to take over a big-time university. What are the big factors in coming in and being able to run your own program? And you're also missing trying to hire the best assistant coaches you know that will actually take a little bit of the load off you.
Man, it's a gut instinct. I've always hired guys with my gut. I've always fired guys with my gut. And that's just, again, that it factor. You got to have it, and the great ones do. And I think Coach Pruitt's done a great job, and he's going to continue to do so. Every athletic director has am I going to go offensive-minded or am I going to go defensive-minded? Well, number one-minded is he better be able to recruit. I don't care who it is, and he better be able to relate with those guys, and those guys better be able to run through a wall for him. So it doesn't matter if he's the dang equipment manager. I don't believe offense or defensive coach is always the right pick. It's the best coach at that time, and it could be anybody. And I don't know if athletic directors do enough turning over rocks, so to speak, and finding the right candidates. And I just think that you have to be well-rounded, man. And number one is, can you recruit and can you get those kids to play hard for you every single day and not coach effort? And, we don't want to coach effort. We want to coach fundamentals and teach some life skills, but we don't want to coach effort. If you can't work hard and play hard, then you shouldn't be playing football, and that's just what it is. And I just think maybe this generation has become a little soft for me, and maybe that's why I'm going to take the year off and reevaluate myself. But it's just a fine balance, man. You got to have it all, and I think coordinators that never had any head coaching experience, they come in and they don't know the logistics of paperwork and administratively speaking, it's a lot to it, man, and you be careful what you ask for when you want that job, because the pay's good and all that stuff, but your butt will have a Century 21 sign in the front yard very quickly if you don't figure it out. So it's turning over rocks, man, because we live in a results oriented business, and the last I heard, you judge by wins and losses and graduated rate and those type of things. And And I don't believe it matters who you are, but you got to have that it factor. And I just think we miss a lot of coaching hires with ADs that want to hire the big splash or the commercial, the commercially recognized guy. And I just think those guys falter quick.
Coach, lots of reality TV is dramatized. It's not really that representative reality. You watch, like, these shows, The Bachelor or The Bachelorette, it's got, the villain and the good guy and the sweetheart. Right. Everybody's got their role to play, and they play it up for the show. How real is Last Chance U?
well, You guys think I'm real or fake?
I think it's real. I think it is. I think it's real.
I think it's real. I think my guess is the showrunners also, they find like the most eccentric parts of your personality, the wildest things you do, and really focus on that for the episodes.
Yeah.
No, I think you misunderstood what I said. Do you think that I am real or fake?
I'm not going to sit here and call you fake. Yeah, you're real.
I think you're real. Yeah, I think you're real.
Well, I'm not ever going to fake on that show, man. So. They filmed me because they knew that I was going to tell them exactly whatever was on my dang mind, and obviously it's either got me some haters or it's got me some people that like me. So I mean, it is what it is. I didn't ask to be a public figure. It happened overnight, seemingly, but at the end of the day, you know, everything they film is really what happens, and it's live, it's real time. And they film me for 3,000 hours. They break it down into 9 hours on film, and they got to pick what they think sells viewerships. And so it's all 100% real. There's no – put it this way. When I did the deal, I found out the truth of – and there's a huge difference between reality and documentary. Reality is scripted. You have an agent. You read a script, and you go through those things. Documentary – there's no script. There's no paper. They film you, whether you're taking a pee in the bathroom or brushing your teeth or you're cussing a kid out or you're hugging a kid and he's crying about he lost his sister in front of you. And that's just what it is in junior college, and that's why it is the most rewarding level to coach at, I believe, in all of football and all the sports. So it's 100% real, and what you see is what you get. And, I guess I wasn't for everybody, and I'm for some people, but not for everybody. And that's just, I think, you know, when you're a public figure, everybody's easily judged. And unfortunately, you're going to have to take the good and the bad.
Coach, last thing for you. We'll let you run here. Is, you know, you're involved in a number of altercations in the last season. I'm sure this season as well. I saw the trailer yesterday, both physical, verbal, what have you. Are there any moments, flashpoint moments in your 2 years on Last Chance U that you look – I mean, no, you said you had no regrets. Are there anything that you look back on and be like, oh, man, I wish I'd handled that one differently?
Yeah. You know, I would say no, because if I wasn't on a show, nobody would care. So nobody would even know or ask me or anything. You know, the regrets I have is, as a public figure, there's regrets because now you can't text anyone anything, because football used to be an intimate setting. The locker room of a football program was the most intimate facility in sports. And now it's become a platform to tweet and show your girl and show your buddies that you're wearing a uniform and that this coach is crazy and he's on a Netflix show, so let me film him and let me try to get 15 minutes of fame myself, and let me get 100 followers to follow me today because Coach Brown cussed me out and I filmed it. And dude, that's what I had to deal with the last year, man. And it just became daunting, to be honest. And it probably wasn't for me, man, because at the end of the day, I still was just a regular guy, a real guy that they filmed doing what I love to do, which was help mentor young boys and turning them into men and getting them graduated and get them scholarships. And if I have to cuss you out to do so, then that's what coaching is. It's getting you where you couldn't get yourself. And, regardless if his high school coach didn't get him there or he didn't go to school or what have you, that's now my job. And that's why I accepted it. And I love doing it. And I go get the best players that are broken. Don't make no mistake about it. They're broken. And that's what I do better than anybody in the country. I fix them. And I've never had a mother bash me on Twitter. I've never had a player bash me on Twitter. So the only people that have bashed me on Twitter are people that have never contacted or seen me in person, talked to me, shook my hand, or know anything about what we do. The mothers call me and say, Coach, put your foot deeper in him. And, you know, the kids you've never seen a kid bash me except for a kid that I've cut because he was smoking weed or stealing at Walmart. And Coach is unfair. And, yeah, I'm unfair because you stole at Walmart. That's just what it is, man. And if I'm hated for that, then so be it. But I would love to come film you for 8 hours a day at your job just pick you. You know what I mean? That's what these people do. The people that do these things and say these things, to be honest, are the guys that are pouring my coffee at Dunkin' Donuts drive-thru. I mean, that's the ones that are doing it. So it is what it is, man.
All right,
Jason
Coach,
Brown.
We appreciate your time, man. Again, go check out the book, Hate Me Now, Love Me Later, number one new release on Amazon, and Last Chance U, new season debuts 1 week from today. Coach, appreciate your time, man.
Good luck to you.
Hey, I appreciate you guys. Good luck.
All right, buddy. Thank you.
Take care.